It was just about a year ago that Pope Francis gave a great gift to our world. And with that gift came an invitation. The gift was a holy year based on the mercy of the Lord. And the invitation was to experience that mercy in new ways. During the Advent season last year, we had a homily series, and we looked at mercy given one week. The next week, mercy received. And then the week before Christmas, mercy embodied in God becoming man and then announcing the good news of the kingdom. Throughout the Lenten season, we looked at the Lenten readings through the lens of mercy. November 20th of this year of mercy ends, and in consultation with Father Howe and others, I thought how great it would be to revisit mercy one more time. And so this week and next, that's what I'd like to do with you. Revisit mercy. Let's start out by taking a look at this video. How do we stand before this mercy? What a great question. Are we closed off to it or are we open to it? Seems like there's no other choice but those two. And to really answer that question honestly, we've got to walk into a part of our lives that is very painful to walk into. And that's our brokenness, our sinfulness. Hard to look at because deep down inside of all of us, we all know that our words and our actions can separate us from the ones we love, from the God who loves us, and even from ourselves. How do we stand in the face of mercy? How do we stand in the face of ourselves? Two men come to church today, to the temple, a tax collector and a Pharisee. What can they teach us? Was it easy or difficult for them to look at that painful side of our lives, their brokenness, their sin? I wonder what it was like for the tax collector. Did he believe he had committed the unforgivable sin? Some people do. They live as if their mistakes are unforgivable. This guy's sin was very public. Collecting taxes is necessary for a society. But he collected taxes for an oppressing government outside of the norm. And not only did he collect sin, but he got rich by cheating people, taking more that was necessary and more than he deserved. And everybody knew it. His sin was very public. And everybody talked about him. They despised him. They alienated him from one another. And somehow he musters up the courage to go to the temple. Some fear that alienation. Some fear that their brokenness will separate them from one another and from the Lord. Some fear it so much they hold on to a mistake for years. And the guilt of that mistake becomes the burden. And that burden becomes the lens out of how they pray. They pray in shame, thinking they're bad. They pray in guilt. They pray in fear, sometimes in hiding. They look at themselves in relationship to others and they feel they don't measure up, that they're separated because of their mistakes. The tax collector discovered something. And let me come back to it in just a moment. because he works through that. The other gentleman coming to church that day is the Pharisee. In the face of his brokenness, he takes a whole nother path. He's just as broken as the tax collector. He's got his share of mistakes, his sins too. But his posture is to deny him, to deny it. Jesus says he goes and he takes his place and he prays to himself. Denies that he makes mistakes. He believes he's part of the entitled one. God loves me, therefore I don't have to look at myself. God loves me, I can do whatever I want. God loves me and he's going to forgive me. Some live with that sense of entitlement. He's quick to blame. Blame is always the absence of responsibility. And he's quick to blame others for his mistakes. If they wouldn't have done this, or because they did that. Blame is always the absence of responsibility. When he's not denying, when he's not blaming, he's rationalizing. And in comparing himself to others, he stands set apart too. But he says, look, I'm not as bad as that guy is. I'm not as bad as other people are. His comparing becomes comparisoning. Sure, I make mistakes, he thinks to himself, but others make far worse. He knows God's law of love, but he uses it to put other people down instead of raising them up. Another response to the invitation for mercy, to the invitation to look at ourselves. That tax collector, he comes in. He can't even look toward heaven. The burden's heavy. The guilt is deep. And he comes in and he kneels down and he says, have mercy on me, Lord. I am a sinner. Have mercy on me, Lord. I am a sinner. Friends, something starts to happen in those words. Something starts to happen every time you or I echo those words. Sin loses its power when it comes to light. Sin loses its hold and its grip on us. Evil does once it comes to light. Because in the light of God's love, it loses its power. The tax collector goes home with the burden lifted, with the sin forgiven, and with everything set aright again. Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. That kind of prayer pierces the clouds. Gene proclaimed that from Sirach so beautifully. That kind of prayer, a lowly prayer, pierces the cloud and goes right to the ear and the heart of our God. That's the good news. If your sin or my sin looks like a rock, well, the mercy of our God looks like an ocean. And whether it's big or whether it's small, whether your mistakes are like a big boulder or like a tiny pebble, it doesn't matter. Because in the ocean of God's mercy, it disappears. It is forgiven. That's the great gift of our God. How do we receive this gift? How do we take the steps of the tax collector? How do we come before the Lord like we did at the beginning of Mass? I love that prayer together this morning. You and I came in and said, I confess to Almighty God and to you that I've sinned and it's my fault. I've sinned in word and action and it's my fault. It's my fault. It's my fault. And I ask ever, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you to pray for me. And then we sang God's glory. There's a path to that. And the path, it has some steps to it. One of the important steps, one of the hardest steps is admitting our own brokenness and our own powerlessness, letting it come to light. We're more the same than we are different, friends. And then two, as it comes to light, we turn to this God who's full of love and mercy. And we say, Lord, you have the ability to bring that mercy to restore me, and I am here. And as I stand or sit or kneel in your presence, I place my life in your hands and in your care once again. I place my will in your care once again. And in that care, I will honestly look at my life, my strengths and my weaknesses, my assets and my liabilities, my successes and my failures, my virtues and my sin, all of it. You see it, Lord, and I'll courageously look too. I'll admit to you, to myself and to another human being, the exact mistakes I've made. And in that, I will know of your forgiveness, because it will be sacramentalized in a reconciliation that you give time and time again. And then I'll pray only for your will and the strength to carry it out. I'll pray daily for that. And the Lord will help. Our mistakes become what transforms us, makes us more into the people the Lord creates us to be. We'll end up depending on him constantly, because we'll make these steps day in and day out, over and over again. But if our sin is like a rock, God's mercy is like the ocean, deep, and it just lets it all disappear and sink to where it belongs. There are some who know they need that mercy. There are others who need that mercy and they don't know it yet. I'm not sure where you stand, but it's not mine to know. It's only yours for you and mine for me. But the invitation from our God today is, I am a God of mercy, come. And you know what? You're going to do it. Because before we leave, you'll say, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. And our Lord will say, I know. Peter said the same thing. Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Peter, and Jesus says, yeah, Peter, you are sinful, but I'm not leaving. This is my body, and it's given for you. This is my blood, and it's shed for you. We will say, I'm not worthy to receive you, Lord. In the next words, we will hear the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Take and eat, take and drink. Embody that mercy. Let us pray that that grace might be ours today and every day of our lives, that we might receive it humbly and gratefully, because it's freely given.